This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, Glow, I'd say, is better, wouldn't you? I think she's improved upon this one with Yeah, Glow.
Yeah.
Curbing on curbing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she's, I say this, like, endearingly. Glow feels like somebody that I went to high school with.
You didn't. She went to MLK.
I know, but I'm just saying, she feels like somebody I was in a class with.
Okay.
She gives me, like, those just familiar feelings, you know what I mean? Like,
you were friends with a lot of black girls?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You had that card.
I was definitely, like, you know, yeah.
What did they like so much about you?
I just think
he's cool white guy.
I think that's probably the, yeah. I mean, I was definitely usually the only white dude in the class.
Yeah, that good hair.
So it was like, I kind of stuck out. There's no doubt about it. There might have been like some where it was like maybe 85-15, you know, but it was, I mean, those were few and far between in the standard joint, bro. Just the truth.
That's standard life.
And I love it. And I feel like I had a class with Glorilla.
You were one of the best that Standard has produced. Let's be real. In terms of what came out of there.
Yeah.
So you were optional, Jason. You were in the high-end program.
Optional, yes. I would tend to agree. Because most of my friends, like...
Have you gone back and talked to the Pacesetter program? Have they had
that was
back?
Middle school.
Pacesetter program.
Yeah, that was middle school. That was seventh
what
and
is,
eighth.
What is Pacesetter? Is that for...
I don't know. It was a weird program that they tried where you were better than standard but not quite good enough to get into optional.
He's setting the pace.
Yeah.
For the standard.
Sounds very like
it's
you know,
possible
you were setting the pace
it's
for
It's possible
the
that they were completely lying to me that this was for the remedial people and that they just tried to, oh, this is not quite, you know.
Right.
But
why haven't they asked you back as a shining of example of what can come out of the program?
I don't know. I'd love to speak to standard class, right? Like, 2 + 2? Thomas Jefferson, sucker!
Yeah, I don't think you'd be good. Maybe that's why they haven't had you back.
Oh, man. Hey, I know everybody got here today on the short bus. It's good to see you. I'm just kidding. I was in standard. I can make that joke.
Can't use that phrase anymore.
It is a short bus.
That phrase kind of been canceled.
It is a short bus, bro. It is not. Is it not?
No.
It's not a short bus?
It could be a van.
Oh, it's a bus.
We don't call it that anymore.
What do we call it?
We don't.
Transportation.
Shrunken transportation, bro.
We don't.
Yeah, when y'all give me a good answer, I'll call it that. But I've yet to hear one. You know,
it's a student transportation vehicle.
That's it, exactly.
No, bro, it's called a school bus.
John, follow,
come on, man.
Follow protocol.
Student transportation vehicle. Unbelievable.
Mm.
No, that's terrible.
Times have changed, as you know.
Yes.
Didn't we just have a talk about women yesterday?
Yeah, but this is a very literal what it is. This is like, there's no two ways about it. It is a bus that is shorter than...
I don't see many of them out here no more, unless they're going to a daycare. Do you? You don't see the shorter version at high schools and middle schools
I haven't
anymore.
Been on a campus, bro. I don't...
We don't use that anymore.
So everybody gets on the same bus?
I think we sold those off to the daycares. They're repainting them, and those shorter buses are used by them.
I don't think short buses should have ever existed, okay? But they did. They did. All right? It wasn't my call.
Again, this is becoming more and more of a Greg Doyle-ish moment
right now.
We want to get ourselves out of it, and we want to get back to
Looking forward to speaking back at White Station Standard Class. Yeah,
you will not be invited. You
Why?
Just killed it. The way you talk to children.
No, that's a very fair and honest way of talking.
Here's what he'll say when he goes in.
What's going on?
No, I'm not. Yeah, you guys should really ask yourself what you've done to not get out of this hellhole that you're in. Get out! Get to optional! Get to the other. It's right here in front of you. No, in all seriousness, I definitely appreciate the standard days for sure. And most of the teachers did both, right? Like they would have, you'd have some optional classes, you'd have some standard classes.
They'd slow it down for you.
Yeah, they'd say, okay.
They actually talked slower.
It's not right. It's not
they
right.
slowed down their presentation.
Well, they have to for the pace setter. The pace setters aren't picking it up as quickly, Brad, as the optionals are.
They just slow down the presentation and the material.
Yeah, slow down the words.
John. To John.
Yeah, because he was in the slower class.
Welcome in, everybody.
Yeah. But again, look at what can still be achieved out of that.
Right. Yeah. Now he's a gambling expert.
I mean, it motivated him.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a gambling expert, but...
He's on the field of 68. He's on the big midday show.
I think I would say, yeah, I would put myself probably in that group of people that, you know, made it out, so to speak.
Who's the
percentile?
Most successful person from White Station High School? That's a fair question
Kathy
for two
Bates.
Alums. Oh, she went to White Station.
Yeah.
Okay. There
Kathy
you have
Bates
it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Would have said Dan Snyder, but Jason canceled him.
Yeah.
So not him. Dan Snyder actually went to Ridgeway. A lot of people don't know that. He didn't go to White Station. He actually went to Ridgeway. So that's something they got to figure out in those halls.
I don't think I knew that.
No, he did go to White Station, but we're actually going to deny it.
The
Nickelodeon guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, remember there's the Nickelodeon. We were telling you, but there's a documentary about all the funny business apparently was going on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were
one
telling me about
one of the main guys was from Memphis.
Oh.
Now,
yeah.
Not to be, you were confusing him with the former
owner
commander's
of the Commanders.
Owner,
Snyder. Now, this is like Schneider.
Oh, it's got a right. Shay.
Yeah, this is, Dan Snyder.
S-C-H.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good to know.
Yeah, but I'm almost.
Did Sybil go to White Station?
I think she did.
So Sybil probably went there, too. She's pretty damn famous, too.
I mean, I think Kathy Bates is probably...
Probably number one, though, yeah.
But, you know, Dan Snyder was the class president at White Station.
Well, there you have it.
But, again, he went to Melrose. A lot of people don't know that.
Sorry.
A lot of people don't know that. Booker T. Washington.
Not true.
Kathy Bates, Sybil...
there's a bunch of writers. There's one.
Yeah.
I can't think of who it is.
Paul Feinbaum attended. He didn't graduate from there.
He transferred to Christian Brothers, I think.
I think that's correct. There's like some Cary Fowler, who you know is as many people know, agriculturist and former executive director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust.
Of course.
I mean, one of Jason's heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody else.
Y'all are up there. You're all up there.
No, we haven't made the Wikipedia page yet.
You should be on the Hall of Fame.
And maybe someday we can get there. Oh, Tay Keith, they have listed as an alum of White Station, but I don't think he graduated from White Station, bro.
Oh.
I think that, you know, the Tay Keith.
The rapper?
The producer, yeah, but I don't think he graduated from White Station.
Wow, he's super famous. He's in everything.
let's see, who else we have? Claire Grant, actress. I'm not familiar with her work, Jason, but apparently she went to White Station. And so we'll continue to add celebrities, you know, by the decade. You know what I'm saying? They have Joe Jackson on here, Chris Gioza, Laurent Black. You know,
those famous
back
athletes.
When we, you know, we're doing it big in basketball. So anyway, yes, White Station, shout out. Look forward to speaking back to that standard class and sort of just giving back and showing what is possible. I know it may not, nothing may feel possible right now, right?
Right.
I get it. But it is possible. You know, if you just do your homework.
Amen.
I know everybody in here reads on a third grade level, but we will
John's available to help.
It's only funny because I went, okay? I couldn't make this joke if I went to it as an optional like Jason. That would be wrong. But because I came out of it, I can make it. All right. Listen, here's what we're going to do throughout the playoffs. If you missed the first edition of this, shame on you. You cost yourself money. All right?
True.
But we've decided, I don't know how we got, we were talking about Jontay Porter, right? Jontay Porter.
Yes.
And as an exercise, looking at everybody's different limits on FanDuel, I have a $2,700 limit on FanDuel. Jason has a $16,000 limit on FanDuel in terms of max wager, right? And Brad has double that on his account. He can get down $33,500 on the Heat and Bulls tonight if he wanted to. So we said, wow, that must mean you're horrible. They just invite all
That's
the
what
smoke
we learned
from
earlier
you.
This week.
They don't care.
So basically, we're going to sort of launch an exercise, an experiment, if you will, over the course of an entire postseason, right? how much money will Brad lose? How many bets will he miss in the playoffs?
How much will you win if you fade him?
Yes. Now, if you faded him in night one of the play-in, congratulations, you won two units. 2-0. Yeah.
That's why the segment should be called Fade Brad Carson.
Fade?
Well, we have an intro for this.
Carson.
Oh, we do. Yeah, well, there's a full production.
I can't wait to
full production.
Wait,
you're,
with this is no longer an experiment.
With a bed, if you will.
This is real.
So here's the truth. We have two playoff games tonight. Then we have
play-in.
Playing. Excuse me. You're right. Two playing games, which we are counting for this exercise.
Do you want me to hit the intro first here to get this thing
going? Sure, go ahead. Yes. Let's hear it.
Your love is fading.
Now it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
I love the Kanye.
It's excellent.
Yeah, I love the Kanye. Perfect.
I'm trying to get it going. Make it a little
Your
more official.
Love is fade.
Have you seen that video?
Oof. No. Who's in it? Is that Teyana Taylor? I mean, you have a type, don't you?
All I said was, have you seen
No, but you have a type. Who are you coming here talking about? Rakia Jackson. Now you're talking about Teyana Taylor.
But have you seen the video? It's all I
no,
said.
No, I mean, we know.
Anyway, that was a great intro,
Thank
Brad.
You.
And
don't
it certainly makes
the
this
subject.
Feel so official.
We even had some drops in there. Trying to up the game here.
Now, listen, Jason's going to prison for a long time. We got to let him get his rocks off. There's no doubt. Before that court
stop.
Date. No, his court
he
date's
has
in
good
July.
Taste.
His court date's in July. It's bearing down on
Rolling
us.
A stop sign. My God.
All right. So here's the deal. Here's how this works. Brad, notorious bad sports bettor. I don't make the rules. It's
High
just the
limits.
Way it goes. Nosebleed limits, one would say.
We're trying to get to Jonte Porter type.
Exactly right. Exactly. And maybe by the end of the playoffs, we can get there. But the way it works is the worse you are at gambling, the bigger your limits are. And Brad has the most of anybody, I would dare say, on this station. So if you faded him for night one of the play-in, you went 2-0, we're going to go through the play-in games tonight. We have four games on Saturday and then two games on Sunday. Brad, you're going to make a pick for each of these games.
Yep.
And you can give us as lengthy or as little an elaboration as possible. You are under no pressure to expound if you don't have anything. But let's start with the first game of the night. Bulls Heat. We're going to call this Miami Heat minus 1.5.
We're going with the Heat minus 1.5. We're going to get right to the beginning of the bet and then a slight explanation here. As we know, I have some research on these, but basically, the problem is Jimmy Butler is out. They will solve it by just being a better basketball team, by Heat culture, by Tyler Hero. All right? I know you got Ayo Dosunmu. We just talked about that in the last hour. But the Heat culture prevails. Give me Heat in game one, minus 1.5.
Oh, man. Kiss of death for Miami.
It is. It is. So he has weighed in. He has taken the
Heat minus one and a half.
Yes. All right.
I'm writing these down.
Are you taking these?
Thank you. Because right. I kind of scatterbrain here.
I got it.
Pelicans. We're gonna say they are. We're gonna say this is a pick. We're gonna call this a pick. I don't know what
is
number
it right
do you
now
have.
Though.
What number do you have?
I thought it was 1.5.
One.
Minus
Pelicans,
one.
Minus one.
Minus one Pelicans. Yeah, okay.
That's not my pick yet. I got to kind of look.
Okay, minus one New Orleans Pelicans hosting the Kings.
So a lot of the experts really, really, really like the Kings because of the injury situation with Zion Williamson. That is the elephant in the room, literally. Okay? But I think CJ McCollum's out too, right?
No, CJ's in.
Is he going to be playing?
Yeah, CJ's
playing,
in for the Pelicans.
He's just been playing poorly. But he's in.
Playing poorly is not
good. Yeah, he was out at the end. They played him off the floor.
That's a problem. You know, I'm just going to riff here a little bit. I'm going to go with the experts and go with the Kings then. Because, I mean, I hate the freaking Pelicans, first of all. Because there's the Pelicans. Like, who came up with that mascot?
So, we got Kings plus one here?
We're going Kings plus one. That I kind of flipped around on that one, but I would go Kings plus one.
This is what makes you
unsure, but that's apparently it's worked.
This is what makes you such a horrible gambler.
It's a very spur of the moment. Yeah. Not a lot of research.
You seem to have really no idea.
I was out.
Not on that one.
I was at freaking Gagliano Field till 10:30 last night.
Who's playing again? CJ McCollum out.
I got to get an injury report.
No, this segment is so valuable.
It's perfect
because you have
this is
no
the
idea.
Brad Carson
I'm being Vincent. You know, I were laying down money, and I've done things like this. $5. That's it.
You don't need to be self-conscious.
And we know because of your limits, you lost the bet.
I'm doing it responsible. Like, Jeff has those ads about the gaming clinic at the university. Your alma mater has a place to help recovery. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to have that because my limits, I know my limits. $5, $10. I'm not going to bet $33,000.
Right. Well, of course not. But, but if you fade, if someone fading, you should. But,
so, yeah. Kings plus one.
Yeah. Okay. So let me. Before we go further, I want to stipulate this.
Thank you.
You don't need to feel self-conscious.
I just told him there's
about
no pressure.
Trying to be an expert.
All right.
You're not an expert,
and that's the key.
And
here.
I'm not trying to lose either. That's the other problem with this. I might just instinctively be crappy at this.
Respect that. But like you are not
dig deep within your and be yourself.
All right, you are
no
not
pressure.
Supposed to sound like Joe Fortenbaugh. Right?
That's fair. Well, and that's why the explanations lack substance, which kind of sucks about
the
bit.
Understand, and I think people listening will understand this, you actually changed the pick mid-sentence.
And it actually makes the bit good, because if you had backed up information, then it would be a Chernoff or a Fortenbaugh segment.
Just like you and Jeff workshop.
That's why this is great.
It's like you and Jeff in the middle of Jeff's show. You workshop the show between breaks. We're doing the same thing live on the air.
No, and again, that's...
So you don't need to sound like an expert, and you don't need to be...
So here, let's recap.
As John says, have conscience about it.
Tonight's play-in games. Heat, -1.5. Heat culture will prevail. Second game, I am going with the experts who, on ESPN, their little website, in the minute and a half I looked at it, looks like Kings tonight plus one.
Okay, there you have it.
Okay, we want to go to the other games here?
Yeah, real quick, I will say...
now, your picks.
I made two bets tonight.
Okay.
Do I feel better about my bets, or do I feel worse about my
bets?
Please,
yeah, that's what I want to know.
I am...
He's with you on Kings.
With him on the Heat.
Really?
Whoa! I am with him on the Heat.
Whoa!
Sorry. I am.
And what is your reasoning?
Sorry.
Heat culture and Kevin Love.
Spo?
Yeah.
And the friggin' Kevin Love.
That zone. I saw that zone against Philadelphia. It's going to be the same. You said it. Io and Kobe White are not going to have that kind of game again.
I guarantee it.
And so I think that's going to be a hard night for Chicago. But I am opposite of you on the Kings. I'm on the Pelicans. And I'm going to tell you why I'm on the Pelicans.
Yes.
CJ McCollum. In their four meetings this year, obviously the Pelicans won every game. CJ has absolutely torched everybody the Kings have put on him. I actually say this is why, you know, it can't be my segment because I do too much research. It sounds
you're informed.
It's too legit, unfortunately. But CJ McCollum against De'Aaron Fox shooting 62%.
Dang.
Against Keon Ellis.
Oh wow.
56%.
Well, this is informed.
Against Davion Mitchell, 75%.
How are we shooting 75% against Davion Mitchell? That's supposed to be what we do. We defend.
Exactly. CJ McCollum.
He eats them up.
He destroys them. They're at home tonight. I think Brandon Ingram, third game back. Zion and Brandon Ingram don't work well together. I think Brandon's going to be freed up a little bit. I think the Pelicans are built to defend the Kings a lot better than they are, for example, to defend the Lakers. They go bigger.
Right.
You can put Herb on De'Aaron Fox.
That logic.
You know, and everybody on the Lakers is huge.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where they kind of struggle. So you can get away with putting Trey Murphy on Harrison Barnes. They're sort of the same size, right? JV always gives Sabonis a hard time. So I think Willie Green and the Pelicans. I also think there's an element of we just knocked off the Warriors. We finally did it.
Yep.
So I think there's like an emotional letdown, so to speak, right? That could be at play here. That is I'm factoring in. So I am opposite of you on one, and I'm not with you, or I am with you on the Heat. So I don't feel
could
great.
Be, yeah, could be. A loser
but I think generally speaking, you're going to go 1-1.
Okay.
In any two game sample. All right, let's move on. I have not made any bets this weekend, so... Oh, actually, I'll take that back. I made one this weekend, damn it!
You want to start with Orlando?
We shall see. Let's work in order. Is it Orlando? Are they
Orlando,
the first one?
Cavs, yeah. That's Saturday 12-10 game.
Okay, that's Cleveland -4.5.
Yeah, we're going with Cleveland. Magic, awesome, had a terrific record. Away, they are 18-23 on the year. I'm looking at it right here. This isn't right in front of me.
This is great.
That's
great insight.
It's like he's learning it as we speak.
This is awesome.
I am learning it as we speak.
I'm looking at the record.
Yes. I'm looking right at the record.
There it is. He's getting one over on the books.
And I know you're who's your Let It Fly client that plays for the Orlando?
Paolo, the rookie of the year.
Paolo Banchero. Yes, awesome. Bickerstaff coaches for the Cavs, am I correct?
Yep. Yes. Are you making a case for the Cavs or the Magic?
Yeah, that's a fair point. He kind of sucked for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you seem to be making a
pointing out things about both teams.
I'm trying to have a little nuance here. I'm going with Cavs, though. Magic, it's too early. They're not ready yet.
Yeah, so
even in game one. And you kind of need to get game one if you're the Cavs at home.
That was like a standard sort of lesson, right? It was like J.B. Bickerstaff, Cavs coach, Paolo Banchero, Magic player.
Yeah, that was a bullet point. That's how we were sort of instructed. That was a piss poor start.
Standard. Okay, but no, Cleveland minus four and a half.
We're going Cleveland minus four
you
and a half.
You think they take game one at home?
I do.
I have no problems with that.
I also lend, like, the home team, you kind of do need to grab at that game one. So
absolutely.
I sort of lean that way.
Yeah,
a lot.
Mess around and win that
all right,
one.
Let's go to the 240 game, which is the Suns and the Timberwolves. Same thing here, only it's the away team that I'm rolling with because of the experience factor. We're going Suns plus two. I hate the Timberwolves as well, so there's a little gut instinct there. But we saw what happened with the Grizzlies last year. You know, you at home, on the road, Suns plus two, game one of their series with the Timberwolves.
Okay, so again, like if somebody pulled me outside and they said, what is Brad's handicap on the Suns-Timberwolves? I have no earthly idea. Nor do I think he does. Did you hear anything in terms of like why he thinks the Suns will? Okay, but
more experience.
Well, I know they got David Roddy now, but he's not exactly their good love secret weapon.
David Roddy.
I heard more experience with Suns.
Okay,
they've got a bunch of players,
Durant.
And I love Devin Booker.
Okay, that now we're getting into.
If we want to talk players,
yeah.
I will say. The Timberwolves have taken a big step forward with their stars.
Don't
Ant-Man is friggin' amazing.
Yes.
However, I am rolling with Devin Booker. I am rolling with Kevin healed up Durant. Is Bradley Beal healthy? I think
he's good.
Is.
He's good.
He's going.
We got stars. We got Grayson Allen. We got a shooter. We got a bench loaded with people.
Now we're talking. Suns plus two is the bet.
That's it. So that's – I don't want to over-talk
it. No, I think that's fine.
Talk myself out of it. We're going with the Suns plus two. All right, next, 5 o'clock, third game on Saturday, Sixers-Knicks. You guys know I'm a Tyrese Maxey guy. Love Tyrese Maxey. I realize Embiid is hurt. Haven't studied the Knicks a lot, so that's a problem in this betting thing here. So
yes.
If I were really good at this, probably would have researched them a little more. Having said that – we're going with the 76ers and Tyrese Maxey plus three for game one because you got to steal one on the road to get this thing done.
Is it plus three?
It is plus three.
Plus
yeah.
three,
that's
Sixers.
That's the right number.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, and I like that amount of points you're getting,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So, okay, so 76ers plus three.
I actually like that bet.
Yeah, I do too.
Wow, that's a problem.
I think that I have there are some sharp people I respect that are on the 76ers here. And also now you. So
Brad might be getting sharper through this exercise.
Hey, you can get better. You can get better if you do it.
We don't want that.
But yes, we need you to be horrible.
Yes, sir. Finally, this is a 4-pack of games tomorrow. This is at 7:40. Lakers and Denver. This is the one with the largest spread here.
Of the day, correct.
Yeah. Lakers really would love to get this one, and that's a big number. So I think Denver wins. Well, nah.
He's rubbing his lips.
I think Denver wins the game.
Okay. Who are you picking against the spread?
I get the feeling you
Lakers
want Lakers plus,
seven.
Plus the...
Lakers
yeah.
plus seven.
Denver wins the game. Margin of victory will be within the number, Lakers plus seven.
Okay. Well, that is the bet I've made this weekend.
What the heck is going on around here? You had Lakers plus seven?
I have Lakers plus 7.5.
That's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I got Lakers plus 7.5, but we could use 7.5 as a consensus. I'm fine with that.
All right.
And the reason why I think this is because this is actually the same exact spread of game one in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. It was Denver minus 7. And I would say two things. One, the Denver Nuggets are not as good as they were a year ago. I think they're a tick worse. I think they're, you know, because they're bench is a little less dependable. You know, Bruce Brown isn't on the team anymore. I also think that the Lakers, from a narrative standpoint, have been stewing about that sweep.
I'm sure.
I mean, they don't forget that Mike Malone was at the parade saying that he was the Lakers' daddy.
Yep.
Right? And LeBron is, you know, in terms of narrative, I think you're going to get a kitchen sink type game.
Yep.
Game one. They've been resting. They've had some days here. After winning the first game of that play-in. So I think that's too many points. I could be wrong, but I think that's too many points.
If you want to watch them, the first three are on ESPN. That nightcap is on ABC.
Yeah, so, okay, so just to recap, on Saturday, Brad has the Sixers plus three, the Cavs minus 4.5, the Lakers plus 7.5, and the Suns plus 2. And then moving to Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Let's start with the Mavs and Clippers. What are we going to call this one, two? Are we going to call this one two or 1.5?
Mavs, Clippers, FanDuel's got it at 2.
Okay, so let's call it Mavs, Clippers, Mavs minus 2.
This is the least educated one I have on my board, by the way, because I've not paid as much attention as I'd like to either one of these teams. Having said that, if we're and because you're trying to pick against me, really, is where we're going with this.
Fade Brad.
I hate the Clippers. I've hated them since the grit and grind era. I like Luka Doncic. The guy just seems to win games by himself. You've been nicked up, Clippers. Your lineup's been all over the place. So give me the Mavericks, minus 2, on the road to start, and they're going to pull out that first game to get this thing started against the Clippers.
All right, and then finally, Pacers-Bucks.
Pacers-Bucks, I'm with the Pacers. I don't like the Bucks at all in this series, and I don't like them to get the first game. I think Indy, again, on the stealing game one theory, I think this is a stolen game on the road. You know, you're nicked up. Bucks have a lot of issues. I think they've sort of just gotten by. So give me, and they got points here. So it's Indy plus 1.5, or I'm sorry,
minus 1.5. You're laying.
I don't like that. Damn.
Yeah, Indy's favored.
Indy is favored. Well, it makes me feel even better.
They
about
were kind of going with what you said.
There you go.
Okay.
Pacers minus 1.5. Give me Indy.
Okay, so.
Oh, I feel good about you losing that one.
So I will say, well, I think
you caught your rhythm again at the
end.
Yeah,
I agree completely. On Sunday, I agree. I think Sunday is the prime
Brad,
fade.
Huh?
I think the Clippers and the Bucks both win those games at home.
Good job, Brad.
But again, just to recap for those who are just tuning in, the idea is to whatever Brad says, do the opposite. So starting with tonight, he's got the Kings plus 1. He's got the Heat minus 1.5.
Yep.
Tomorrow, he has the 76ers plus 3, the Cavs minus 4.5, the Lakers plus 7.5, and the Suns plus 2.
Yep.
On Sunday, he has the Dallas Mavericks minus 2 and the Indiana Pacers minus 1.5. We are going to track this, and I think the value will sort of reveal itself. I'm a little worried. I think you're going to have a losing record,
yeah.
But I think it's going to be like within a game or two, right? It's not going to be, but again, still profitable for the person who is on the other side. I'm curious to know if anybody is actually going to do this. If anybody's going to just fade you every game, every step of the way, you know.
If it does what he did last time out,
you need to think about it. Now, which of his picks do you think he could win?
The Lakers plus 7.5. For everything that you all said on that one. Now, there were a couple of them that I thought, okay, he's trying to really pick them here. So there was one other one.
Sixers
plus 3. Yeah.
Yep.
Those two I think are going to come through for us there.
Now, let me be clear. These are my honest picks. I'm just not good at this.
But that's what we want. And then we found out that honesty led us right where we wanted to be last time.
Yes.
And so.
Yes.
Listen,
honest.
Just trust it. Trust the process.
I think he could win
trust
Heat.
Brad's process.
Intuitive.
I think he could win Heat.
And trust
to
fade it.
But yes, I think if we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I think 3 and 5 is very much in the cards for you.
Yeah.
And again.
That's a winner.
That's a winner for the audience.
A winner in the books.
There's no question.
Yeah,
so
if you're going against that.
We'll do this every day throughout the playoffs that we have games. And it's just going to be a fun sort of thing to track, right? You have a whole 2-month sample size of how poor Brad is as a bettor. And maybe you benefit. Maybe you, the listener, get a chance to win off of that. All right, we'll come back. Got some NFL draft stuff, including maybe a little bit of a back and forth at number 2. Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? Lots of movement. We'll get into that when we come back. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM? ESPN. Shoot 360 is your go-to if you have a hooper in the house that is getting serious about the game, getting better at shooting, dribbling, passing. These are all things that have to be at a high level for you to your hooper to be at a high level. It's just the truth. And it's technology, right? It's technology-based, so it's going to steer you in the right direction. Well, hey, your arc's not high enough, or your arc's too high, or your directional's off, or whatever the case may be. You're going to get better at the game just because of the time you're spending there. You're going to learn, right? It's all about data and analytics in today's day and age, and that's what Shoot 360 specializes in. It's right here in the Memphis area, and it's growing. It's going to be 50,000 square foot facility this summer, moving out to Cordova. So if you get out there now, get the membership, it will be honored. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Thaddeus Young, Memphian, Phoenix Sun, longtime NBA veteran, is a businessman. And the basketball training, it's a business, man. It really is. And he understands it. This is the future of it. And if you're going to keep up, you better get your membership right now. You want to be a part of this big new facility that's coming up in Cordova in June. Get your membership now. Head out to 85 Market Center Drive. You're going to love the place. If you haven't been already, get familiar. It's going to be a lot bigger and look a lot greater come this summer. But again, this is the way that they're training now. Steph, Clay, all of them. Thaddeus is going to have his kids on this technology. You need to as well, or else you're going to get left behind. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis. The future is happening right now. Go see them at U360 out at 85 Market Center Drive.
Real quick, I do want to mention this. On Twitter, X, TJ Bamba, who is a Villanova forward, announced that he is down to six schools: Oregon, Florida, Stanford, Louisville, Kentucky, and Memphis. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly the kind of guy I would love to see play for Memphis. His numbers were a bit down last year for Villanova than they were 2 years ago, but I am a huge fan of this guy's game. He is an athlete, can really kind of do it all offensively, and it is tough. He's tough. I watched him quite a bit at the end of the season, and he's listed as a guard, but he's a big guard. He's 6'5", so he can do a lot of things. He shot 37% from three, 82% from the free throw line. Like, this young man can ball. And he did it, again, in the Big East, right? This is kind of just like David Jones all over again. David Jones' numbers at St. John's weren't, like, crazy. They were, like, 13-7, right? Mm-hmm. He comes to the AAC, dude looks like an All-American, you know? Like, that's, I assume, the same would happen with TJ Bamba. He's got the same sort of bag in my mind.
He was the leading scorer for Villanova in the win over Memphis in the Battle for Bahamas.
Oh, okay. Now,
it was 13, right. But yeah. Again, this is one of those ones Penny's had a close look at. Remember, that was a balanced effort from Villanova in that game where they just overpowered you. But TJ Bamba in that, showing a little bit of what John said, he was 3 of 8 from 3, 13 points to lead him. Looked like he added 3-4 rebounds, couple of assists, played 26 minutes in that game. For those that want to remember who TJ Bamba is, just go back to that Villanova Memphis game back in the Battle for Atlantis.
Yeah, like this is exactly
it's effective.
Like this would be a fantastic addition for Memphis. You know, we talk about why I'm skeptical, right? Going after Jackson State guys, going after Morehead State guys. Not saying that they can't be good, but I know TJ Bamba will come to Memphis and be great. I know that. Because he's putting up double digits in the Big East,
right. The
hardest conference, arguably, in the entire country. And I assume if he came to Memphis, I would assume two things. One, I would assume David Jones is not coming back, right? That would be my first assumption. Secondly, I would assume that he would fill that role very well. Between he and Kobe Rogers and PJ Haggerty, all right. See, now it's this is the kind of guy who, if you told me TJ Bamba commits to Memphis, PJ Haggerty is maybe not the best player. Maybe he's got somebody else who can take the load off of him a little bit. Yeah. You got two shooters now with Bamba and Rogers. Okay. Now the picture starts to emerge and it looks better, you know? And it's just like, and again, I say this, to me, it matters where you come from. It matters what league you're in. Because if this was a guy that was averaging 10 points a game in the Southland Conference, I'd say, we'll see. We got to see. With TJ Bamba, you already know because A, you saw it against Memphis, and B, he did it in the Big East. Did it in the Big East.
Also, an 82% free throw shooter.
Yeah, big time player.
A guy that is going to, you know, experience, going to get it done and knock it down usually. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing about it. You saw him firsthand. So, again, Penny loves those ones that do it against him. And, this would be a case of that. So, yeah, TJ Bamba would be a great pickup. Who are the other five schools?
Kentucky, Louisville, Florida, Oregon, and I think Stanford was the other one.
I like that list that I'm on with them. I ain't worried about Kentucky and Louisville right now.
Agreed.
Now, they may be so desperate that they're throwing NIL at him.
Oregon will, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a real thing. But, I mean, this is a good time to remind folks, yo, FedEx 20, 25 M's. We got it.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Right.
You know? So I think that's the – it's – this would be a significant addition for Memphis. Make no mistake about it. And I think it would also mean that David Jones is probably not coming back. Because you can't have Haggerty, this T.J. Bama, and Kobe Rogers, and David Jones. Right? There's no world where that is happening, in my opinion. I guess it could. I guess you could play David Jones at the four.
He goes small.
Yeah, or him, you know, I just don't see it.
I mean, you have Jordan and Danger right now. That right. could be 4-5. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, wouldn't that be your assumption if you get T.J. Bama, you're not expecting to have David Jones back?
Yeah.
Because you're not bringing David Jones off. I mean, excuse me, you're not bringing T.J. Bama off the bench at Memphis.
No, he's a starter.
And I don't think you're bringing Kobe Rogers off the bench.
He started all 33 for them last year.
That sounds right.
He played in all 33. I'm not sure if he started all 33. Yeah, but he started against Memphis. And again, mentioned he was their leading scorer.
Right.
So yeah. It would be a get.
I mean, it's just that's sort of the implication, right? That if you indeed do land him, you know, it's going to be probably the end of the David Jones era at Memphis. That's okay. Like, you know, I think they're wise to, yeah, I think he started every game, bro. He started every game.
Yeah, he's legit.
Yeah. So he's not coming to Memphis to come off the bench, right? Especially with those lists he's got. You're not getting to Memphis if you on a hey man come here and be our sixth man,
you know. Quite the development.
And the same is true of Kobe Rogers. He was being recruited by Kansas. You're not telling him he's coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. So if you landed T.J. Bamba, it would be P.J. Kobe Bamba. That would be your backcourt and your wing essentially, right? And then you play Jordan at the four, and you have Danger at the five. That would be your starting lineup. Again, provided nothing else. You don't get a better player, but I would say that's a very solid starting five. If that is, but and again, it's a power league guard you're adding into that mix. Make no mistake, it's not that you're adding a 10-point a game guy. You're adding a dude that did that in the Big East,
right,
where we just saw it last year. The takeoff that you can have, even if you're just shooting. You know, let's just say there's an 8-point gap, right? Let's say there's an 8-point gap between the AAC and the Big East if you have a relatively decent usage rate. So David Jones was from 13 to 21. Bama can go from 10 to 18, right? I mean, I think that's very reasonable. You know, I mean, maybe P.J. Haggerty's scoring comes down a tick. You know, it's going to have to.
I just know the toughness from the Big East. Everything you're saying translates. We saw it from David Jones from the rebounding standpoint.
Yep.
And when they played Villanova in that Battle for Atlantis game, and obviously this wasn't a great Villanova team, but there was a different level of physicality that they brought to the table you didn't have. T.J. Bama was a big part of that. So adding that sort of dimension, a physicality, another Big East guy that's going to bring that level of physicality to the AAC, always a good thing. It translates coming from the Big East.
Absolutely right.
David was proof of that last year.
If they are able
to, physicality.
If they're able to get him, I think it changes a lot about their trajectory and how I feel about them. It's not David Jones. It's not quite David Jones, but it's close enough to me because I watched him in the Big East tournament. I watched him against Marquette. Like, the guy is a good player. He wore a mask. I think he might have broken his nose or something. Like, he wore like a Batman mask, but he made some big shots for them, man. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a good Villanova team. It's down.
No, it wasn't.
You know? But
they still outclassed you.
Yes, that's exactly right. They sure did. He was a part of it. So I like the idea here with T.J. Bamba on the wing for Memphis. We'll see if they're able to beat out all those other schools. Come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN. There's not much drama as to who is going to go number one in the NFL draft.
They've stopped talking about us, to your point about there's literally no drama around anymore.
You guys are going to select USC quarterback Caleb Williams.
They didn't even bring anybody else to Hallis Hall. I just hope that you know, they've got the right guy. It seems like they didn't do any other due diligence in terms of
the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'm all for it. So you're right. Two is where it starts.
So, okay. That being the case, who goes number two? Do the Commanders settle on Jaden Daniels, or do they settle on Drake May? Now, it looked, you know, going into yesterday, it looked like it was significantly leaning toward Jaden Daniels. But now some sharp money has pushed that back towards Drake May's direction quite a bit. think maybe Jay Nail's now minus 125 or minus, you know, yeah, minus 125 to go second. It peaked at minus 350 at a sharp book for Jaden Daniels. So if you're the Commanders, are you taking May? Or are you a Jaden Daniels guy? But there are some grades on him that are concerning in terms of how he handles pressure. I think that's kind of where you get into maybe talking yourself out of Jaden Daniels, how he handles it.
It'd be Jaden Daniels all the way for me. They're going to overthink this and blow it. They may already have. I don't know if you saw his agent brought up the fact, why are we all coming in here at the same time? Because like I said, man, typically with these, you're going to bring in a quarterback that you've considered that you're going to be your franchise player, the face of your franchise. You bring them in, you want to see my whole day. They brought these guys all in at the same time, took them to Topgolf. It would be an end. I mean, why would you do that unless you haven't made your decision yet? And, yeah, the decision should be made. There are some that are saying the Bears should take Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's how you know. He may very well end up being the best quarterback out of this draft. Washington's going to blow it over thinking this thing, going to Drake May.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely – the only thing I would say is I saw an NFL media guy say that in terms of all the quarterbacks he's ever charted, like I think it was like his leaving the pocket, ejecting from the pocket, is his percent rate of doing that is higher than any quarterback that's gone in the first round ever. And I think that's like his reaction to pressure. He got away with that in college because nobody could catch him. What about in the NFL when everybody's a little faster?
But there's the other stat that says, and I've seen it a bunch of times because I've compared him to Caleb, that says when he's in the pocket, when he does stay in there, he was as good a pocket passer, if not rated better, than Caleb and the others.
No, yeah.
He has a tendency to bail. He bails because he's got them legs. He can go for 70 yards. Now, doing that in the NFL is a different thing. But this dude, from both the legs and the arm talent, the accuracy, he's better than Drake May. He's better than Drake May.
So it's the pressure response. He stood and delivered last season at LSU 36.7% of the time. So Benjamin Solak said, I've never had a quarterback prospect under 40% stand and deliver before, and certainly not a round one guy. So he says never before, ever. So, I mean, that's...
That he runs too much.
Yeah, that he doesn't stand in there in that pocket.
When he does, it's good. You can teach him to stand in there a little more.
Yeah.
That can be worked on.
Justin, it didn't work for.
He was the classic case of could not make him a pocket passer.
Yeah, so got to try to do it with Jaden Daniels. We shall see. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Anthony Saint for joining us on the show. Jadon and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.